councillors, good evening, members of the public. It's Thursday the 15th of January at 7 p.m. and this is West Mersey Town Council's full council meeting. You're recording, aren't you?
Yep.
The town clerk's recording, and members of the public, if you would like to record, please feel free as well. Straight into the agenda. 2608, to receive apologies for absence and a vote of acceptance to be taken, please. Are there any people missing?
No.
I think there are.
The full house.
First in a long time, I think. Right, okay. So 2609, to record declarations of interest. Members are invited to declare any relevant interest, notwithstanding this item. Members may subsequently declare an interest at any point during the meeting. Does anybody have any interest they'd like to declare?
I'm a city councillor. I'm also, as you know, an active first responder on duty tonight. I'm on level one, so if I do get called out, it is a priority. So an apology if it goes like this.
Any other apologies?
No.
Or declarations, rather? Thank you. 2611, to receive... my apologies, 2610... Public session for a period of 15 minutes, 3 minutes per speaker. Priority will be given to those members of the public wishing to share information relating to items on the agenda. Once the public session is closed, members of the public are not permitted to speak. It is strictly 3 minutes per person. We have got quite a lot on the agenda again. Do we have anybody that would like to speak? No? Okay, thank you. Moving on to 2611, to receive county and city reports, please. Councillor Jowers, would you like to go first?
Yes. I've decided that since I can't really fit much in the 3 minutes, I'm asking you to ask me the questions, and you've got 3 minutes.
Thank you. Thank you. Right, does anybody have any questions?
I have to take his advice on.
Was it from Elk? I've actually got a matter to raise with you, but does anybody else?
No, that's
what
I want.
Yeah,
thank you.
Councillor Acker, would you like to go first?
Thank you very much. This is the week of the local plan. The local plan submissions closed 5 o'clock last night. This council has given a lot of attention. It's been almost in permanent session. Since Christmas, deciding on its evidence. And the local plan committee was due to meet in early February. I believe that's now been postponed. It may well be because of the wealth of information that's come forward. I'm looking very carefully at this time. Thank you. The question I want to ask Councillor Giles is this. A major part is the fact that we're an island. That a lot hangs on the fact that we're an island settlement. Could Essex County Council help us and the local residents by doing a traffic survey as far as the Strood is concerned? Because this is an essential part that we have some factual material in which to present to an inspector.
Yes. If the county council still exists by the time they get it done. What I can say is that I've asked, and not huge enthusiasm, because what was done 2 or 3 months ago in Aberdeen. And of course they've taken that quite wrongly, I think, because quite a lot of traffic does go off towards Peldon. But it's given them an in and out of Colchester view. I can get you those figures. I agree with you. I think that we need to do one before April and we need to do one in August.
Yeah.
So that we can get a view of traffic flow.
Yeah.
So I will persist in asking. The only problem is that last time I asked for one, it costs £7,000 each time you ask.
Yeah.
So to do two, that's £14,000, and that was actually 5 years ago, so it's probably more like
£40,000. Yeah.
They have been known to ask local parish councils to contribute.
Okay.
But I'm hopeful that would be the case. So, yes, John, I'll talk to Tom Cunningham, who's head of highways, and I'll do what I can.
Okay.
But I agree with you. I think it's very important. Because because if we don't know what the traffic flow is on and off at all times of year, then the housing stats and surgery stats and water stats and sewage stats and anything else, we don't know what we're talking about.
Madam Mayor, could I just ask one supplementary on that? What has happened since the last survey is that I think a lot of people now are surprised by the volume that's appearing, not only in the summer, but by a large number of residents commuting at all hours, particularly in the early hours of the morning. I've witnessed a whole stream of cars coming off the island in the around about 5-6 o'clock in the morning. The other thing, Councillor Downes, is that you are retiring, who knows what date, but it's really important that we get it in before the major reorganisation of local government takes place.
Yes, I'll hope. I mean, I'm absolutely up in the air the same as you are, John, and I've no idea what the hell is going to happen in May. I'm crossing my fingers that I will eventually, after God knows how many centuries on various councils, I'll be able to stand down, which is why there's a certain jubilation. But there's news on the news tonight, we don't know what's going to happen one way or another.
No.
But I'll ensure that it's done certainly before May.
Thank you very much.
Whatever happens, it'll have to be a residual traffic authority somewhere. I don't know what it's going to be.
No.
And I'll make sure we get it.
Thank you.
Someone else asked?
Anyone else?
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Is there anything really important that we should know about?
God. That's a very good question, sir. I think you should be very careful about seeing how the structure of parishes will change with the local area committees, because the one that's proposed for here in the government review is Tiptree, Mersey and Brighton, you see, combining in political terms. That's going to have a lot of power because quite a lot of funding will be derogated from the unitary to those committees. You either want to make, well, both, you want to make sure your role isn't downplayed, but also that you have representation on that. And I suspect it'll be a mixture of both councillors and members of the public.
Yeah.
It won't just be elected. So you need to find out a bit more about that, Sophie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing I've got to say is, just for interest really, in my last swan song, I gave £10,000 to Mersey Freedom Boats a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Not my money, I
think. From Sif. Yes.
Thank you, John, for that. You've been a great supporter of that project.
Initiative fund, I should say.
Okay. Right, thank you. I've been contacted by a resident, and I understand he's also contacted yourself with regards to the condition of the path outside the school. A child was witnessed falling over and hurting themselves, where it's in poor condition. The email's gone to yourself. Can you please ask that you raise this? It's a health and safety issue, and I understand it's not the first time that a little one has fallen over where the path is in disrepair. The email that was sent to yourself, just for your ease, was on Tuesday, the 13th of Jan.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's not unusual. There was a child was hit by, her arm was hit by a car in Tiptree, and we managed to get a guardrail put up. Resurfacing, yes. I think that sounds like it's an urgent issue, doesn't it?
It is, it is.
Yeah, I'll go and have a look actually tomorrow and see. And then if I have a photo of me standing in a pothole or whatever it is, then they might do something.
They have provided you with a copy of the defect in a photo.
No, I'll go and have a look. I don't like photos.
Okay. Thank you.
Right.
She'll let them know that I've spoken as well to you about it, as I said that I would. Okay. Thank you. Councillors, would you like to speak?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, My apologies for not being here very often. Usually it clashes with East Mersey, but they were last week, so it's a pleasure to be here. Just going back on the last thing that John mentioned about local committees, that's fine if we have three unitaries. Yeah. They were proposing more local committees. Colchester are going for the five option. We don't know which one Labour or government will choose. If you go for the five option, they're proposing to have one local committee for the whole of Colchester Borough, which means effectively that money, that pot of money, will go to the places that need it most. Sadly, very little of it will go to the rural areas. Yeah. And so it's really quite critical which decision the government make as to which how many unitaries there are. So that's an issue. I agree with John though that you know, at least we've got a coastal one that could actually make some real difference if they go for the three option. Just to relieve your worry, we've ordered plastic bags, clear plastic bags for recycling for this year coming. There was some talk of them replacing them with bins, but I think because of the restructure, they're just not going to go down that route. They'll carry on for another couple of years. So they'll probably come out April, May time, but we haven't been given a date yet. Obviously, the local plan consultation finished last night, or 5 o'clock. I'm glad to see West Mersey put a significant contribution in. My worry is that the council, and not just Colchester but Braintree as well, are rushing it through to get the plan inspected by a government inspector in the autumn. They won't have time to give it fair consideration, in my opinion. So I'm not optimistic about changing the numbers, which is really, really a shame. I have certainly made I've sent an email straight to the officers, planning officers, that the parish boundary, effectively, for development boundary, that's been increased, and actually it includes the green area to the east of Dawes Lane as well.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. You know, green areas are sacrosanct, they're not for development. Anything within that boundary is liable to get developed. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And they've done that in Aberton and Pelton and other places. Normally they wouldn't alter the settlement boundary until the plan was nearly complete. So I'm hoping they're going to withdraw all those. It does say they're proposed.
Yeah.
But you know, there's no guarantee they'll change it. That's my problem.
Yeah. That point was raised in our submission. Yeah.
Yes. Apart from that, I think apart from the weather being awful, I'll let Dr. Parsons.
Okay, thank you.
Carry on.
Parsons.
Yeah. On that last point that Robert's just said, we have actually just had yet another change to the planning law announced by the government, which removes Sport England from being a statutory consultee. Now, I just mention that because basically what it is saying is they are so desperate to get these 1.5 million houses built, they are prepared to change the law to allow building on playing fields. So a bit of green space isn't even a playing field. You know, it is vulnerable. Very quickly, can I just mention this leaflet? I think I do need to flag this up to you. It's got a sentence in it that says, the City Council has decided it will plan for 20,800 new houses, 1,300 new houses each year. The City Council has not decided that.
Mm-hmm.
That's a government decision they changed the law on to legally require Colchester Council to do, and that is actually important because it's unlawful for public authority to publish a misleading or false statement. I'll say no more about that, but you do need to understand what happened there.
Can I ask then, would you like us to put a correction on our website so that we point out that the leaflet stated, and in fact it is the local, it's the government?
That would certainly reduce your liability.
Yes,
I'm more concerned that you look at what happened and make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Thank you. We'll learn from that. Thank you very much.
There are plenty of people, as you know, on Mersey who will...
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Elections. As you'll probably be aware, the government cancelled the mayoral election for Essex. Well, they postponed it for 2 years. And that's probably not just about opinion polls. The mayor of Essex would have had power over where those houses go. That's probably part of what's going on. There's been a lot of press speculation today about postponement of local council elections. The government have not actually made an announcement as yet. The BBC have asked lots of councils, are you going to ask them to postpone elections? So we don't actually know what the government's going to do. Colchester and Essex County Council said we don't want to postpone. That doesn't mean the minister won't postpone them. Finally, local plan. Just before the consultation started, the government did yet another change in the planning law, and this is really important for West Mersey. What it did was to say that if a council, a local planning committee, is likely to refuse planning permission for a development of 150 more houses, it must immediately inform, quote, the minister, who has the power to grant planning permission without even a normal planning inquiry. What that does in effect is it takes the whole power out, it nationalises part of the role of planning committee. So if, for example, let's say Dawes Lane development, landowner puts in the planning application not for 300, which is in the local plan, but for 500, 750, of course there were objections from this town council, as you would expect, and other people. At that point, the head of planning would be legally required, quite likely this would be turned down, to refer it up to the minister out of our hands. It's a terrible thing, but what that does in practice means we're now on to forced choice. Either there's the 300 in the local plan, and we hope it gets limited to that, or there's no local plan, could be 750 or whatever, but the minister would almost certainly approve it, because all these changes are to get these 1.5 million houses built. And basically what this has done, and this is terrible, it's changed what used to be a vaguely level playing field on planning into an alpine ski slope in favour of developers. And it has completely taken Dawes Lane, in effect, out of the power of Colchester City Council. It's a minister that will now make that decision. The council can try and restrict it to 300 by putting it in its plan. That could still get overridden.
So you can't even call it even, can you? Because it's been great.
It won't even go. It cannot go to the planning committee. It's not a question of the planning committee. If the planning committee turns it down, it goes to the minister. But if the planning committee is likely to turn it down, yeah, we are absolutely over a barrel, I'm afraid, guys.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
Sorry to be the bearer of gloom and doom.
Councillor
Powling.
No, I'll say for single day. I thought the council had mentioned everything I needed to say.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to 26.12, to confirm the minutes of the council meeting on the 9th of January 2026. So have you all seen the minutes, and have you all read them, please?
Yep.
Any comments, councillors? Okay, then can I have a proposer that we accept the minutes, please?
Yeah, I'll propose.
Thank you. Seconder, please.
Yeah.
Councillor Hinderwell, all in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you. 26.13, to agree and approve a list of payments. To provide an update from committees. So, who would like to go first?
Oh, well, why not? As Nigel has pointed out at great length for the last 2 days, there hasn't been a finance meeting. So, therefore, I don't have any comment to make.
No? Okay, thank you. Councillor Acker?
Well, we've had two meetings of the working party on the local plan. I was really interested in what Councillor Parsons said. I've looked at the leaflet and I think we should have a discussion about that, because I'm not satisfied that the thing said in the leaflet is inaccurate, but I will refer that to the working party. The other thing is on the environment, is that I have to report to the council that discussions about Bradwell and small modular reactors is still active. A number of statements have been made by the Prime Minister supporting SMRs. The country has got a problem with the generation of electricity, particularly around AI. But we all know that Bradwell would be a very bad choice for an SMR. So the Environment Committee will be considering with Bang what action needs to be taken, if any. But I think it's right that the community should be put on alert. We are working with Colchester City Council. They have put a senior officer together with in terms of Bang. So I will report back to the council in due course on that.
Okay, thank you.
And that leaves me, I think.
Councillor
Hinswell. Yeah, Planning and Highways Committee meeting was held on this Monday on the 12th. 11 applications were considered. All bar one were householder applications, extensions, porches, that sort of thing, which I believe we had no objections to. The 11th one was for Dabchick's standing club to replace their cladding, the white UPVC cladding, with something probably more appropriate, dark grey or black timber effect cladding. We had no particular objection to that, apart from commenting upon the fact that it's in the conservation area, so relevant considerations need to be made as far as that goes. So that was the planning applications we considered. I've just got something to say in case anyone's got any questions about this particular building. Some of you may have noticed a large steel-framed structure being erected on Wellhouse Farm, just north of Glebe 2. And I've had a couple of questions from a fellow councillor and some members of the public asking how and why it was granted planning permission. The short answer is it falls within the criteria for permitted development on agricultural or forestry land. It's very large. It's 44 metres by 25 metres and 10.85 metres high, on one of the highest points on the island. And it's visible from the approach to the island and visible from the island. In the past, West Mersey Town Council and the neighbourhood plan deemed these views to be high value when considering the Dawes Lane development. But permitted development rights have made it impossible to protect the views. That's all I have to say.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Hinswell. I think we can. can all see it from come on and off of the strategies. Yeah, it really does. Bit of a shocker, really. Right, okay, so I'm Chair of Assets. So since the last full council meeting, we have not met. The meeting was cancelled because there was no items to consider. So there's no point turning up to a meeting if you've got nothing to agree. And I'm also Chair of Personnel. We have met since the last full council meeting. There are a number, I won't go into them because of the nature of what it is, but there are a number of items on the agenda that are progressing, and we do need to call another personnel meeting as well for some further items to go on the agenda. So B, working groups. Councillor Ecker.
Just good then.
Okay, all right, you're happy with that?
Yep.
Okay. The RAFS working group, we haven't met. That's Maxine and Councillor Williams and myself. I think once things start to quieten down a bit, then we should sort of be able to meet and reassess, I think, the RAFS. C, representatives. Councillor Baker.
Me? Right. As a council, last time we wrote together a letter to the bus companies, both Connect and First Bus. I've done that for the council, I've read the emails, replied back. Doors Lane, obviously, inappropriate to go down. And regarding the high tide, as that they planned for the high tide in advance, which, in my point of view, I mean, I voted him before becoming a councillor, and the same as being a councillor, and it's the same response. They try to allow for the high tide, regardless of whether or not it's high tide or not, but that's their policy to stick with what it is. And when it comes down to the timetable, they're saying that's not their part of their system, and that's what they're for another system, and they say that's all down to local authority. So that's as far as we've got at the moment, and I want to know who the local authority is on that, to do that. Because I've worked with different people, and I keep getting back local authority. That's as far as I've got. So that's the update on that one.
Okay. Would any councillor like to interject?
I've never heard of us working out bus timetable.
There is a proposal that the government would move to local authority franchising. But local authorities haven't controlled buses
for
years, have they?
No. What they say down here, it says customer services are made aware of planned changes on board but not controlled by us. The changes will be posted on the first app. Any real-time information provided at the locations referenced in your correspondence is done by the local authority and not First Bus. And it's exactly the same.
That's the electric signage at the bus stops.
So it's not the timetable, it's the signage.
The electronic timetable has got nothing to do with any bus company. And they just say that's controlled by the local authority.
No.
The electronic timetable in the town centre doesn't change. When it says West Mersey, the bus comes in, it still says Peldon. So we wrote them and asked them for that, and they said that is controlled by local authority. That's ambiguous.
Councillor Davison.
Yeah, so it's the county council. They control all highways and pavements and everything else. They also are, the First Bus and the others that are not funded by the public purse. They have to notify the county council of any changes they want to make to the timetable. As far as the electronic things, I'm guessing that is also controlled by the county. Subsidised buses, that's like the heading one, obviously that goes through the county council again, and is agreed the subsidies. And they reviewed those about 6 months ago. And I think they cut one out in East Mersey, but
Councillor Jones.
It is only the subsidised services that the county has any input in. So therefore the standard services between Mersey and Colchester, we have no say in them. And it's in terms of competition they're fighting against each other.
Okay, I understand that.
It's a private business, isn't it, at the end of the day, so they're not going to be dictated to. They're going to do their own timetable.
Certainly with Solgold, Tolson, Darcy, they will subsidise.
I can understand the vehicles they sell, the owner companies. It's the electronic signs I'm interested in. Who is in control of that?
So, the private bus companies have to notify the county council of any changes.
That's the county council.
And so they are informed of any changes to the timetable.
Well, so that's county council.
Okay. Or the bus company.
Or the bus company. It's cohesion between the two.
Yeah.
Right, okay, thank you. Any other representatives? Okay, 2615 to receive the town clerk's report. Firstly.
Okay, I'm going to give you a comprehensive update of jobs and works that's been going on. So, the office boiler, the annual service was completed in 2nd of December. The permissive footpath, the posts were installed on the 10th of December. The England coast path, the Waymoker post that was installed on the Monkey Beach on the 12th of December. I know the last agenda, the tree stumps was voted on, that work was completed in 16. Toilets! The wall gate fascias have been installed, they were replaced on 22nd of December. The glebe fencing, that was installed in the beginning of January, and reflectors have been bought in readiness to be placed all the way around the fence. School gardens, the work began today. The slats on the metal benches have been taken away and the benches have been taped off. The SSSI maintenance work, that started phase one and phase two. The infrared heater is in Rushmere. Hedge cutting, all are being completed except for Felsey, with the woodland cemetery head, and that's scheduled for February, so it lasts longer through the year. Panther security maintenance has been booked. Fairhaven toilet route. Paperwork is pending. The contractors are aware of the deadline, and I know that the last meeting there was a deep clean, and they're aware of that, and they're going to hold. We will hold off the deep clean until as long as possible to make sure that Fairhaven gets done. School gardens, the plastic bench, that's going to be ordered and installed in March. What did you mention? The deep clean. Toilets, we've had ongoing problems. There was a problem in the coast road with the waste pipe. The wall gates in both the men's and the women's toilets in Coast Guard Road are now being repaired. Tree survey, that was completed. We're in the middle of obtaining quotes and they'll probably go on the next agenda. There's quite a few trees that need looking at, so that'd be quite a big job moving forward. The beacon, the basket has been straightened, and he's going to move on to the brackets next and then we can look at putting the beacon back. The glebe pavilion, when we were looking at the repairs, the contractor has gone down again. He said it's a really lengthy job because the condition survey report, the glebe, everything's changed since the report was there, and you can't isolate one job from another, and a lot of the parts he can't get them from his usual supplier, so he said it's going to come back to that. Picnic bench, we're waiting for two men because it needs two men for installation, so we have to wait for that, but that's on order. And the posts for well house are pending.
Wow, so what have you been up to then?
Oh, and then we have got a meeting scheduled with the health and safety later to go through all the risk assessments through council and for the Rushmere.
Right, okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay,
thank you. All right, any questions at all?
That sounds very fun to me.
All right, thank you.
I do have a quick question. What repairs to the pavilion are we talking about?
It was when we agreed to do the externals outside
the
building.
All those items.
Yeah. It was very hard to isolate them because when we agreed them from the report, the condition of the building has now changed.
Is it worth getting enough contractor to look at them?
We have, and but when someone goes down because it's such a big job.
Is it that contractor?
I don't think so.
Right, any other questions? Thank you. Right, 2616, to consider and approve the grounds maintenance tender.
tender went out, there were quite a few people that came back, and Councillor Jenkins and myself went through the suppliers' responses and scored them against the set criteria. So we went through. Don't know if you want to intercept, Bob?
No, it's a fairly thorough analysis.
So we scored them out of 100 on value for money, service provision, the quality, scheduled work, presentation, certificate, questionnaires, and then any references. It really came down to two, really, at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Top two are very similar, aren't they?
Yeah, if you look at the costing, that's where we differ.
Mm. Any comments?
Shall I kick off?
Yes, please.
The analysis, we can all see it in front of us, put oak tree top. A very good submission, well qualified. Our current contractors, Gippers, came second. But when it came to price, there was one cheaper than a tree, but they didn't have the same references or certification, so they dropped right down the pecking order. Our current contractor, we've been pretty pleased with, to be honest, but he's come in quite a bit more expensive.
15, yeah.
So really, for me, I wouldn't go for the cheapest here, I would go for the second cheapest. I don't like the word cheapest, but the second best value for money, which happens to be Oak Tree.
Which is highest scored.
Man ever the highest scorer.
Yeah.
We did take references.
Yeah.
Three local authorities. And they all came back very positive. They didn't come back with the usual bland response.
Yeah.
They came back with very thorough responses. They did make some criticisms, which I can perfectly understand, because it's not the easiest job in the world. But they were good references. So for me, I would say that we go by the analysis that we did, and we look closely at Oak Tree as the front runner.
Thank you. Any comments? Any further comments?
Well, I'm just out of interest. Where are they based?
Yeah. They're up in Suffolk Border, aren't they?
Okay.
They go further afield than here. That was the first
time.
They
will do it. It's just,
I was
just a question, really.
They weren't immediately on top of us.
Did you ask me the question and we looked?
I can't remember the top of my head. No, but that's fine. Suffolk,
yeah.
Not local.
I think it was, no, they're not immediate.
New
together,
local,
they're
no.
up towards.
Okay. Also, no, there's a vast difference between the lowest quote and the highest. It's like more than, nearly five times greater, which
yeah,
is remarkable.
I don't think they wanted the job, do you?
Well, yeah.
Right, Councillor Acker?
I'm really interested in this one. How long is the contract last?
3 years.
3 years.
3 year contract.
And what is the question in terms of performance under review? If we're unhappy with it, can we terminate it with due notice?
In the current contract.
Yeah.
I don't believe we can. I think it would be, obviously you might know more because you did prepare this contract, you awarded.
Well, as with all contracts, the contractor is contracted to do the job that they're asked to do.
Yeah.
Clearly, if they don't do the job they're asked to do and they do not come back and correct the job they're asked to
contract.
Do, they are in breach of contract.
Okay.
So therefore, that's the end of it. But that isn't going to happen, I'm sure.
Okay.
But yes, they are contracted to do the job there.
Okay. Yeah. Now, I raise the question because obviously it's a really important contract as far as this council is concerned. We rely on them. And Mersey, well, the alternative, has been doing it for a very long time. And relatively satisfactorily, I understand.
Yes, absolutely.
One more question has just occurred to me. Currently, we pay for extra cuts for the glebe.
Yes, they've been incorporated.
They've been incorporated into this. Okay, that was my question.
That's included.
Yes,
that's even more saving.
Yeah.
Even more saving.
Right, okay. Any other comments, councillors?
No.
Right, okay. So, Councillor Jenkins' proposal is the first option. I'm quite happy to second that, just to speed things up, if everyone's okay with that. All in favour?
That's great.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. to agree the council's budget for 26-27 and to agree for the preset proposal to be submitted to Colchester City Council.
It's a point of order, really. Both of the following items have not been dealt with in accordance with this council's financial regulations when bringing them to this agenda, 26-17 and 26-28. Financial regulations have not been followed, specifically 4.2, 4.6 and 1.3. To comply with our financial regulations, both of these items should have been considered first by the Finance and Strategy Committee, who should then make a recommendation to the full council. There's not been a Finance Committee meeting since August 2025. These matters have not been considered by the Finance Committee, therefore no recommendation has been made to the council. In my opinion, to consider them on this agenda would potentially make each councillor complicit in ignoring the financial regulations. And as I say, I'll raise that as a point of order. So over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Hinderwell. I'd just like to thank everybody for their comments on the emails that's been toing and froing. I too have taken some advice on this. I've taken advice from Colchester City Council, and I've also taken advice from Essex Association of Local Councils. And to agree this item on this agenda this evening would bring the council into disrepute. I don't agree with some of the comments. I'm not going to go into them. I hope we've all read the emails with some of the comments that's been made. The view of Colchester is that we should follow our standing orders.
That Colchester monitoring.
Hayley McGrath.
Yeah.
That we should follow our financial regulations. And they have been adopted. They was adopted in May with amendments to fit this council. So we should be following our financial regulations. A comment from Essex Association of Local Councils is as well that our internal auditor and external auditor would not be particularly happy either if we wasn't seen to be following our financial regulations. We have asked for a finance meeting in the past. I'm not saying, Bob, you do a great job, you really do, with the budget, but our financial regulations are there to protect the public purse and so that we follow what we should be doing. So on this point, and in view of what I've just said, I have taken the advice and it's been consistent from Essex Association, EALC, and also Hayley McGrath. So I'm going to refer to standing orders. One view. And a point of order shall be decided by the chair of the meeting and their decision shall be final. So what I'm going to say is an extraordinary finance meeting on Tuesday, Tuesday afternoon.
2 o'clock?
If you're 2 o'clock, is that okay with everybody for the finance? Followed by...
I'm not sure I can do it, but I'll try.
Well, it's important in one,
yeah.
Followed by an extraordinary meeting of council on Wednesday. The difference being, it's entirely up to yourself, Councillor Jenkins. Do it both on Wednesday if you want to. But if you want to do it to get it agreed, you know, at the finance, to have a good discussion at the finance meeting, and then perhaps come back.
I think we need as many councillors for the big decision, because if the council makes the big decision, the recommendation can come.
Yes. May I?
You may.
It is only my opinion. The finance meeting should be open, not closed.
Absolutely. It is open to the public. It is something else that the Hayley McGrath...
It's for transparency reasons.
...did mention
is that we should
be having regular finance meetings. This has been picked up to date by both Elk and by Colchester City Council. It's an opportunity to demonstrate that we are transparent and that the public can come along and see the workings and the decision making.
It has to be an open meeting, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
What time on Wednesday do people want to be here?
On Wednesday, so you're happy to do finance on Tuesday?
Yeah.
As long as it's all right with you, John, but you need to be there.
Yeah.
And then an extraordinary council meeting on Wednesday. Councillor Hinderman.
What time of day would that be?
AM
is better for me, yeah.
Yep. Tuesday, can we do PM though? You're saying 2 o'clock?
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. And Wednesday, we're saying AM. So what time would everybody prefer on Wednesday, those that can make it, please?
Well, we don't want to disenfranchise anybody here, because everyone's going to discuss it tonight, including the public.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they will, actually.
So,
can we make it early on the Wednesday, Chair? I've got another unbreakable commitment on the Wednesday, but if we could make it earlier, that would selfishly suit me, but it's up to the rest of the council.
Okay, so is everybody okay for... Say,
what's early, John?
I was going to say, if you're saying 8 o'clock, forget it.
9 o'clock.
Okay, that's fine.
Right.
9 o'clock.
Sorry. John, what time?
9 o'clock.
Right, is everybody okay for 9 o'clock on Wednesday?
I won't be here.
I won't be here.
I'm going to be in Leicester, so I'm not even going to be in this part of the country.
Right, okay.
I mean, I can make early. I can make 5 o'clock.
Right, okay. So there's no urgency, correct me if I'm wrong, we don't have to notify Colchester until February.
Well, they've asked for Friday this week, tomorrow in other words, so we'd have to ask for an extension.
Councillor Hinderwell.
Nothing, I just agree, Bob. They've requested the 16th, but that isn't a statutory... limit.
It's a fairly firm ask.
It's an ask.
But we can get a...
Well, actually, as it happens, the 1st of March is the statutory date, and submissions can be accepted afterwards, but obviously we want to get it through as quickly as possible.
And also, just to add to that, they're talking from to Elk today, the town clerk that I was speaking to said, oh, I've put them in late before. And it's
we don't want to,
February.
I think out of courtesy we asked for a week's extension.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so would you like, shall we decide the extraordinary meeting if people could email me your availability next week, please?
Well, can we not agree 9 o'clock Wednesday?
Well, I can agree 9 o'clock Wednesday, yes.
If Councillor Powling is happy not to be here and Councillor...
Williams.
£20. Thank you. Cheers.
I can't be here until on Wednesday, during the day.
Right, okay.
Can we agree to the Finance Committee on the Tuesday?
Tuesday 2 o'clock?
Yes.
Yeah, Tuesday 2 o'clock.
For anybody who can't make the Wednesday, we don't want to disenfranchise anybody. It's an important decision. It should be the full council, really. Would anyone, if anyone can't be here, would they let me know what comments they've got by Tuesday? Then you can bring them into the meeting on Tuesday.
Tuesday,
Tuesday, 2 o'clock.
Yeah. When are we having the...
That's the finance.
That's the finance.
Yes. But they need to see the result of that finance.
Yeah, but we need to consider any comments. So if Maxie's got any comments that you want us to consider and Carl the same,
yeah,
and then we can consider them on the Tuesday. Because otherwise you won't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can attend the finance on the Tuesday, can I, even if it's sat here?
It's open to the public, yeah. It's open to the public.
I see that. Yep.
And maybe actually.
Okay, so are we saying Wednesday then? For extraordinary meeting.
Yeah. I think that's what we're saying, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, we are.
At 9 o'clock.
So I can confirm then we're deferring this item and holding to extraordinary meeting.
We are.
Yep.
Okay. Finance on Tuesday, because we can count Sunday on a committee meeting, and Wednesday because you can't. We need 3 clear days. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
So, what's that, 10 a.m. for Tuesday?
Tuesday is
2
p.m.
Tuesday is 2 p.m. and Wednesday is 9. Got that.
And Wednesday is 9 a.m.
Yep, got that.
I just want to.
Close up.
Don't need to vote on it, it's a decision of the chair. Thank you. Just want to share with you as well, just to sort of hopefully uplift everybody. Having spoken to Hayley McGrath, there's a noticeable improvement with this council as well from where we have been in the past. That it's quite noticeable.
In 2004, you mean? When we lost.
2004?
Yeah, was it? 2004. 24.
Thank you.
When we last ignored the financial
regulations. Yes, we did, and we all attended the code of conduct. Yes, and you're quite right, Councillor Hinderwell, they were ignored then. So hence we all did code of conduct training. And I'm going to say I wouldn't like to see that again. They're there to protect the public purse, and we should be following them, as irritating as it may be at times.
And be seen to be following.
As nice as that is to hear, how has Hayley come up with it better? Like, how does,
well,
are these gentlemen
I,
here?
I will quote. I will quote that at the point when we were all requested to attend at the same time code of conduct training, West Mersey Town Council had in the past 2 years. Had more complaints going into the monitoring officer than any other town council that they were responsible, adding them all up together.
Okay.
So it's measurable. In other words, we're not doing so bad. We haven't had the complaints. All right. Okay. So 2618, to approve the quotation to install a new footpath using a compacted gravel finish at Coast Road. So I spoke to Kirsty earlier today, just really to go over the advice that was given by Colchester, Colchester and Highways. If you could just refresh everybody, that'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah. So the contract's here, James Ryan, and he suggested that we had to get in contact with the DM Highways to ask their permission. It was a very long-winded, took a long time for responses to get back, but eventually Bob very kindly put an email forward that asking them if we were going to do A, B and C, would we need to concern them? And they came back saying as long as we didn't touch the highways, they didn't need to be involved any further. They've also suggested the pathway, the James Ryan suggested a non-tarmac surface due to the coastal area. So, for example, all weather-bound gravel product. So that's where about we avoided going through all the architects and everything else that was suggested to begin with. But as long as we keep within the highways, we don't touch the highways, but the path can be laid.
Okay, so has everybody seen the quotes? Any
question.
Comments, Councillor Hindworth?
A weather-bound surface, what exactly does that mean? And have we got quotes for a weather-bound surface?
Well, that's the principal question, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
I'm no expert on this, David. You've looked at it?
Well, I think the product that they've all quoted for is that compatible weather-bound surface.
Well, yes, it's compatible, but is it? It's the word weather-bound that concerns me, because I can see it is compacted gravel, but a compacted aggregate that we've been quoted for, but I don't know what the performance of that is in, you know, pouring. I know it's often porous, but will some of it be washed off onto the highway? I think that's the consideration of highways. But that's just my input to it.
Well, James Ryan does say not loose.
Yeah. It is compacted, but I wonder how not loose, not looses.
Yeah. We don't want to trip over ourselves on this. I mean, literally all
I have to do it again. Yeah, that's the problem.
Pardon the pun.
Exactly. James Ryan also suggests that we should, in fact, he strongly suggests that we go for permitted development under GPD 0215.
Yeah, because it is within the conservation area.
Yeah, certificate of proposed lawful development. He doesn't suggest there be an issue with that we should.
But that gives us certainty.
But I'm more concerned, that's a technicality, I'm more concerned about whether this finish meets the spec.
That's my only question.
My thoughts on this is that I don't see how we can make a decision until such time we have confirmation.
No, I don't think we can make a decision, but we need
just
to throw up.
Sorry, just what breed and...
Yes,
I look that up. It has an ability to self-bind into a hard, durable surface, ideal for pathways, driveways and formal gardens. It goes on, it's a crushed limestone with natural fines that bind when watered and rolled.
So it will bind.
It binds, the water binds it.
So it's not loose, is it?
No.
Not immediately, I agree, because I looked at it and saw the same thing, but I'm still not sure if what we are proposing here meets the requirements of the highways authority, because they're worried about loose aggregate washing onto the roadway or being distributed
but
on the
will
roadway.
It
I don't know.
I don't know if it comes in with the actual installation of it, because it promotes natural water drainage through a slight camber, so whether they take the angle away from the...
It's not that, it's just whether any of the aggregate comes loose at any time, I don't know. Anyway, that's my two penny worth, I'm not an expert on it. Okay.
The only other point I had is probably one for Sophie. When the original discussions were taking place with the previous owners of the land, because we now own it, that strip, it was thought of to be a 1,200 millimetre wide strip, 4 foot. We then pointed out that there was this telegraph pole, whatever it is, in the way, and they then agreed to a 1,500 millimetre wide strip.
Mm-hmm.
But I think at the pinch point, which is by the post, it probably comes down to nearer 1,000. Are we going to trip ourselves over again, or possibly with disability access?
Well, that telegraph pole exists, doesn't it?
Well, I know, I'm not suggesting we move it.
But no, exactly. It exists.
Nothing you can do.
I don't believe that it would be a problem. There's plenty of other footpaths around with telegraph poles stuck in the middle of them that... it's not as if we're creating something.
But is there enough room to get past it? That's what I'm thinking.
Not for a wheelchair, I would have said no.
No, so is it going to be an issue for us?
I don't know, that's something to check, but there are plenty of other instances around on Mersey where there are such obstructions.
Yeah, and plenty of footpaths that are nothing like a 1,000 millimetre. Mm,
some of that might.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I was going to say as well. Plenty of footpaths that don't meet.
But we could treat it as two footpaths with a fence at each end around the telegraph pole.
One foot in front of the other to get round.
No, anyway, seriously, though, it's just something we need to check.
The pinch point is a metre. You're saying it's 1,000 millimetres.
Yeah, I think it'll be a metre.
A metre. I think I would say most wheelchair users would get past. Not most. Because there's a lot of wheelchairs now that are much bigger, scooter type ones. So,
well, I'm looking at a recommendation of 900 mil.
Is that for
wheelchair
disabled access?
Yeah.
Is it proposed to leave that metal fence there? The white metal fence?
Well, we don't want to take it down because we have to put something else up, I guess.
Why would we? Because that's on the roadside. And we're sort of creating a path. Do we want our path?
A hole in the road, though, wouldn't you?
No. No, the fence is on the land that we've acquired.
Yes, it's the metal railing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's on the land we acquired.
As far as I can remember, because it's back to 23, as far as I can remember, we were just going to leave it there because it's always been there.
Yeah, but obviously that makes the pinch point even smaller.
Well,
than it would be if that fence wasn't there. It'd be much easier to pass the telegraph pole. And there's no fence on any other footpath.
Only by encroaching on the roadside.
Sorry?
Only by encroaching onto the road itself.
Which anyone would do on any footpath if they needed to go around something.
Not if there's a curb.
Right, can I just bring this back to these three quotes, please? And is it fair to say we need some clarity, really, to see whether it meets the requirements of what planning have advised? I mean, we could ask, put them in front of James Ryan, Councillor Hinderwell.
Well, we could accept one of these quotes on the proviso
that it is
suitable for
the
job or is approved by highways. If not, we have to reconsider.
But. Yeah, okay. I'll go with that, I don't mind. So, it's any comments with regards to three quotes?
One is considerably more than the other two.
Yeah, I certainly don't have the most expensive one.
It's a difference between... Councillor Williams?
Yeah, Only that I would rule out option C because of the vast difference in price. But then between option A and option B, the only difference that I can see is that option A is going for the deeper MOT type 1 compact. So I would be voting for that one because the more of that sub-base, I'm sure, the sturdier the going to be, but I don't pretend to know anything about lane roads or paths. But that's my comment.
Yeah.
Councillor Purley?
I'd agree with Councillor Williams, but I would not remove the fence. I think it was a condition that the fishermen wanted that fence left. And secondly, if you remove that fence, cars will park on it. So then you will lose that space because they will park there because it's a nightmare down there.
Good point.
Now I know that, the fact being sponsoring can't get them through in the summer because cars are blocked everywhere.
Yeah.
Refusing to move out of the way because they want a parking space and letting an ambulance sit there on blue lights with sirens at it.
Yeah, I agree with Councillor Powell in as far as parking goes. There was no condition to leave that fence there. We simply bought that land and there's no condition on that, on the transfer of land. Concerning that.
No.
But good point about parking.
Can I just make a suggestion as well? Sorry, Councillor Boylan.
I was just going to ask why one has quoted 200 mil and the other has quoted for 250. Was there not a spec for it, or is it?
I'm assuming that. I know that when Carol is taking a long time to get together just three quotes, well, she's put the other quotes underneath that wouldn't quote.
Right.
People coming together and getting the actual quote in, it's taken like months.
It's just that I think the cheapest price, the price that they're charging for the Type 1, for how much they're using, is cheaper than it would, if you asked them to do 250, it probably would be cheaper than...
Yeah, that's exactly the point I was going to make, is I've just looked at overall the cost of the Type 1, and if you break that down to another 50 mil, it's still going to work out cheaper.
Yeah.
And looking at who the contractor is, I know that in the authority, the area that I came from, they were approved contractor for that council as well. So that would... you know, they used to drop curbs and I would.
I wasn't considering asking them to requote.
I would actually put a suggestion forward that we go back and ask that question before we agree a quote.
Yeah, because they're excavating to 300 mil as well.
Yeah.
So they've got a. For some reason, they've come up 50 mil short on the.
Yeah, they're two different.
Yeah. That, of course, might have your problem with anything that's coming off, and they may be slightly lower than that.
The surroundings. They're both put in the same depth of freedom, I thought.
Yeah.
Alright, they're quoting for 200. Is it? 200 sub base, that's it, that bit there to quote. For 250. Is everybody okay with that? So so shall I put that forward as a proposal that we defer this item on the basis that we're going to go back to one of the contractors and ask to quote like for like on the base? Yeah.
It can't do any harm, can it?
No.
But meanwhile we need to ask the town clerk to apply for the certificate of proposal at lawful development, because that won't come through immediately. So we might as well get that underway.
And if at all possible, can we try and get this back as quickly as possible as well? Although this has been included next budget,
is it?
Okay. Yes, it's next budget. Yeah. Okay, okay, that's my proposal, that we defer the item. We ask the contractor to quote for 250 mils. Can I have a second, please? Councillor Boylan, all in favour? Thank you very much.
And in parallel, make sure that it is suitable.
Yeah.
As far as highways.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to ensure that we're not putting a base down that they say no, you can't do that. Yeah. 26.19, to review and agree the quotation for the repair of the skate park.
Can we have a summary, Chair, of where we are at? Because I spent the last few minutes trying to understand the quotes, because it seems to be that the quotes seem to be, it's not similar work.
No.
Can I give you an explanation of that?
Yes, please. Yes.
So when we originally, during the assets, talked about having a look to repair the skate parks, it's taken months to agree to get anybody to come down to look at them.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the contractors that I contacted said because it's a concrete skate park, most won't touch it at all or look at it because you repair and it's not an adequate service and the repairs don't last, so they'll come back. So most contractors don't want to look at it. The first one, she's put in, I gave all of them all the photographs and specification from the Rossborough reports. Some of them went down to have a look. The first one did go down to have a look, and according to the Rossborough report, this is what she came up with in terms of repairs. The second contractor, we spoke on the phone quite a bit. He didn't actually make a site visit, but we spoke a lot and sent through photographs, and he's made his estimate. The only thing that he hasn't included in his is the erosion. This is the out of his remit, they can't actually provide that.
That's at the sides, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the side. The third quote, I met with the contractor, he owns the company, he came down, and it was quite a comprehensive meeting, he went through everything, looked at everything, tested everything, and that's probably why the quotes are so varied. depending upon what the skate park contractors can actually provide, what they're prepared to do.
What was your feeling, Kirsty?
My feeling was option C, yeah, probably because it addressed all the problems.
Yeah.
Okay. Could I ask, did it address the issue of the sharp edges?
Yes.
It did.
It addressed all the sharp edges, the erosion, the cracking in the surfaces and the grind rails.
Okay. Right,
Yes, this comparison is not a true comparison, is it? A, B and C don't actually compare. Because the second one, the last one I should say, the most expensive one, actually includes £6,600 worth of correcting the soil erosions. If you take that out, then their bid is £3,682, which is half the price of the second one.
That's my question.
So they're not comparable. We need to take out the soil erosion and deal with that separately. On that question, we have that today asked that supplier for examples of where he's used this work, has carried out this work, and whether it was successful or not, and can we have photographs and references? Because this is a problem with every skate park I've ever seen, and I've seen quite a few, is that these corners just wear away. Whether this will work or not, I've got no idea. But if the references come back positive, then it's probably worth considering. But if we're only talking about the repairs to the actual surfaces and the grind rails, then option C is £6,382, which is considerably less than it appears here.
Do you think that perhaps they'd want to come and do the lot in one go, though?
I don't think that you're going to get anyone else who's going to come and do solve the problem with the erosion. From the amount of skate park companies I spoke to on the phone, and the three that I could actually get to actually come down and only to physically look and to quote for it.
Hello.
Is there any chance that it could be completely removed?
No.
Oh, you're laughing, but none of you live where the skateboard park is. I do. It's virtually in my back garden. And the noise that it makes, Sunday mornings, you've got kids on it, understandably kids have got to play, But why can't it be moved completely somewhere else? And all that. You don't listen to the banging of it and it sounds like a shotgun going off, depending on the weight of the person. You've got kids there with drugs, loud music. In the summer, it is worst. 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, we have to have our doors shut because of the kids out there playing loud music, shouting and hollering, swearing and everything. You sit there and you laugh about it. Instead of wasting money on getting the skateboard park redone, put pathways from the top of Oyster Close to the co-op. Sort out the other pathway as well. And it's dangerous at this time of night that people who work at the co-op and at Tesco's or even at the Legion to walk through that park, because we have to walk through there by torchlight, and it's not safe. Especially if you're going through the first gate and you've got a drain cover which is sticking up. I nearly fell over it on the way here.
Okay, thank you.
The
trouble is the children have got to have somewhere to play, and it's a youth field.
Yeah, move it to the glebe.
I don't think there's anywhere to put it at the glebe.
No, it's not an option.
But thank you.
But it is annoying. Yeah, I've got 5 children and 13 grandchildren, and they all together don't make as much noise as what the kids do on that skateboard, especially when you've got little ones on there. You've got older kids going on there, telling the little ones to get off of it and breaking their skateboards.
Okay, thank you. Right, so we've got to decide what we're doing with this, is whether we are going to go with it or whether Councillor Boyd...
Sorry, I just wanted to ask, because we said about disregarding the erosion.
Yeah.
But if we're looking for something that is fit for purpose going forward. The guy who's allowed 6,000 for the, he's actually excavating and type one with rubber on the top, so it's actually going to be a proper job rather than just banking up soil again.
If I've misinterpreted, we are not going to disregard it,
right?
But it's misleading on the price comparison.
The others haven't done it.
When compared to the others,
But
you're not saying, Bob. You're not saying, Bob, that we should disregard it entirely.
No. But from the point of view of deciding who's going to do the repairs to the actual surface, then it needs to be taken out. Yeah.
But in terms of a solution, the council could...
we'll see what references we get back and if they work.
Councillor Penny, just 1 second.
Listening to what the clerk said, that the third quote, Dundon Comp, it was the only one that really came out and looked at it properly. Yeah. So on that case of the... The trouble we find on there, I'd actually propose that we accept that, because the time it's been going on the grounds that we get satisfactory reports back. So I'd actually propose it on the grounds that we get, because otherwise it'll be another month, talk about it again, and more delays. It might be not ideal time to do it with groundworks.
Just one second.
The only thing I was going to say was, were we then looking at asking the other two to be more specific and include that?
They wouldn't quote.
Councillor Baker. I see the email. I've asked about suggestions for this, and I did put one forward. Oh, I understand about the gunshots because I hate it myself. The top level of the skate park itself, is there any way that when those skate parks come on the top of that, that can be dampened down? Was that discussed at all with them?
Did ask the question, and not in a particular method that could be used, part of the concrete skate parks.
Not even putting a mat on it or something like that to dampen it down? I mean, I don't see the point of why that to be concrete on top.
No. Well, Kirsty asked the man with the experience, and he said there was nothing.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. I don't know what the benefit is by actually going out and asking for references. It's we either do this or we don't, in my view. I support Councillor Perling.
References for soil erosion. Oh. No, if the soil erosion doesn't work, we don't want to pay £6,000 for it.
But we've got no other option.
The soil problem isn't necessarily going to work in a long-term solution for it. It's one of those things that's a maintenance, ongoing maintenance that you have to probably invest in every 2-3 years to keep it up to scratch. So in the long term, no, probably if we don't keep addressing it, it wouldn't work. But in the short term, if we don't address it, then
you've got
the situation is going to deteriorate even further.
You've got a health and safety issue as
well.
I'm happy to second the
proposal. Yeah, I'm going to move to that.
Okay, thank you. Before we do finalise that, Councillor Acker?
No, I think we've reached the end of the...
Okay, thank you. So the proposal is from Councillor Perling, seconded by Councillor Weaver. All in favour?
Let's have the proposal again.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, I'll propose that because that contract came out and physically looked at it and was made full recommendation, that I agree with Kirsty. I don't think doing erosion is going to be a problem, but... Yeah. If what you proposed when you read out, Bob, is like you said, he's going to put type one down, put down rubber matting, and then put soil over it. It's like we talked about. It's like hopefully protect it. And at the moment, it's just that was this soil piled up against it. So this will make it slightly easier to work on. So my proposal would be that because they've made that effort to it and it's been ongoing for quite a few years, fix this.
So it's option C.
In its entirety. Because we do need to sort those corners out. So if he is digging it right out,
so the proposal is there for option C in its entirety, both sets of work. Okay.
But Bob said, it would still be good to see what other councillors have said about those repairs and maybe how long they have lasted. I agree, Bob, because we got it repaired once, didn't we, in the scouts, and only lasted a year, anyway.
The evolution wouldn't quote for it because of that situation.
So, no, it appears that if he's willing to quote and put it that, he's, and for the cost of it, like Bob said, he's not going to do a cheap job of it. So, I'll propose that option.
Thank you. Councillor Weaver seconding. So, all in favour?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. 26. 20 2020, to agree the quotation to supply an installation of a gate at Wellhouse Park at a cost of
£1,195
plus VAT.
Oh, me.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Yes.
We ask a favour. It's the gate. The item was deferred before.
Yes.
So it went back to ask for the self closing.
Yes.
Yep. And this is a new quote.
Okay, thank you. Right, okay, so if you're all familiar with this, this was picked up on the Roswell report as a bit of a as an area where you could get your hands.
No, it's not that one.
Is it not?
No.
Oh, right, no, okay. I'll rewind then.
I don't think so. I think it's the one that doesn't stay closed, doesn't automatically close. The other one is not addressed here.
Oh, right, okay. This isn't Wellhouse.
Yeah, but there are two gates at Wellhouse.
There's one at the end and one in the large middle area.
The one at the end has got, according to Rosper, a finger trap, but we need to move one of the posts out to do
to
that.
To make it,
But there's no quote for that.
Okay.
The second gate is the one we're talking about here, which just flaps open, it doesn't automatically close. As I understand it, as anyone can correct me, is that the gate is meant to close in order to prevent dogs getting into the play area, not to stop children. Children have to have a free access to get out in the event of a problem, so they can push it out and get onto the path, but dogs cannot get in. And at the moment it flaps around, so it's not compliant with anything. I did balk at the labour price here, £850, and I checked with our groundsman today, and he said, well, he wouldn't be happy trying to fit this.
Okay.
So it looks as if we're going to do it, we're going to have to pay the sort of price for it to bring it back into where it should be. So it's what it is.
What does that mean, end user status required?
for Kirsty to do this. So it's 4 hours a week, I think, isn't it?
Why is that confidential?
It's responsibilities with the trainer, what the trainer agrees to, the candidate agrees to. It's
all
been attached in your pack.
Yeah.
There's the ownership of who gets to see the portfolio.
Oh, okay. It's about the training material staying confidential to you.
Warehouse design.
We were in the middle of the vote.
We were, wasn't we? Right. So once again, can we all put our hands up?
Who seconded it?
I proposed it.
Boylan, all in favour. Thank you. All arguing who's going to first. And that's due to start, I think, February, isn't it?
Yeah, so you can book yourself on. I'm already. I
have
the first training thing on each time.
Well done. How many courses have you got left?
I haven't been told yet, but it's a new course. Have
you got any left from in the week? Sorry, in the year, is there any? You've done all of them, haven't you?
Yeah, all the courses.
I don't know if you're aware, but throughout the year, Kirsty's been doing training, and there's been core courses that Kirsty's had to do so that she could then go forward onto silk training as well. So a little bit of info for you there.
Okay.
26-23 to approve for the town clerk to attend the co-option casual vacancy and election course. The cost is yet to be confirmed.
This is in readiness.
Who's resigning? Sorry.
It isn't essential.
My only comment on this, if I may sort of say something, is have you contacted the elections team at Colchester City? I was wondering whether it's something that they would be able to provide as well.
As far as I'm concerned, Colchester do have a information sheet on the subject, but whether that's sufficient.
Yeah.
But how much?
I'm happy to wait till the time if people would rather.
Ask a question on this. Who delivers this training?
Has there been any indication of what the cost will be?
Is it a one day course?
Yeah, issue the cost yet.
One day course.
It seems to be a similar cost around the courses a day.
Yeah. Can I make a suggestion that you make inquiries with the elections?
Would you like to defer this item?
Yes, please. Is everybody okay with
that? I don't think we can vote on something we don't have a price for.
But if we could defer this, but also for Kirsty, our town clerk, to try and get some information from Colchester to see if there is something.
As I say, they do have information.
You might find that if they provide you with something, you don't, I don't need to go on the course. Or,
okay, yeah.
Okay, so I propose we defer it. A seconder, please. Councillor Ackhart, all in favour?
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. 26-24, the decision was made by the town clerk using her delegated powers and the chair of the Environment Community Services Committee and local plan for the payment of the local plan leaflets. 5,000 copies. A4 folded at a cost of £192.50 due to a change in content. Okay.
That's noted, yeah.
Thank you. 26-25, the decision was made by the town clerk using her delegated powers to replace the breaker and the wire and a supply for a daylight sensor on the lime tree Christmas tree lights on the church green. At cost of £265 plus VAT. Is that now working? I know they're down, but
they're in the process of where the breaker switcher is, and he's going back and forth and trying different options to see whether they work and they don't work to
correct it.
Yeah, correct it and isolate where it's gone wrong.
Okay, thank you.
This is because half the tree lights didn't work.
Yeah.
Who put those up?
The lights.
Yeah.
What, right at the top?
Mm. Really? Well, they're left up, aren't they? They're left up, aren't they?
Yeah, they're installed by a guy with a big cherry picker. He wrapped on, they just
keep... Oh, they just stay here. They don't come out. When you said they were down, I thought, who gets up there every year?
Not me.
If you're doing, you usually get tree surgeons do it. They just walk up and wrap them around.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. Right, 26-26 to agree to review and, where necessary, carry out health and safety risk assessments for all public open spaces under the council's control. We do have, as you're probably all aware, we do have somebody who is our health and safety consultant. And
I'll set up a meeting and then I'll have to be deferred because now we have another meeting.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
There you go. Damn it, the financial regulations. So this is, we should have something on record that we have, you know, carried out health and safety risk assessments for the public open spaces that we are responsible for. I think, Kirsty, you looked and we've got some
we've got lots of risk assessments. Yeah. We've got lots in place. They just need to be updated and reviewed.
Okay.
And also, I think they need to be of a uniform format.
Yes, they are.
They are, okay. Yeah. And fairly simple, not
they are.
Not in-depth.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's what I think should exist.
Yes.
And it should also take into account recent
inquiries,
incidents, if I can say that, you know what I mean.
I do.
Can we know what you mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've had reported incident of
a child
being
injured
due to a bit of equipment being
left out.
Out.
And
a boot scraper,
and we do have, you know, photos. I'm aware that somebody went to social media, but it was a health and safety issue. And, you know, is the council doing their due diligence as well? It was a boot scraper that was left out just randomly on the grass. So, really, we should be contacting Rugby again to ask them. It is a requirement for them to put it away. It's a health and safety risk. So there was that incident.
Or use it supervised.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so... Any questions, anybody? Right, can I have a proposer, please?
I'd just like to add extra information insofar as that we pay a retainer to this health and safety consultant, so presumably it's not going to cost us any more money than we're already paying out.
Yeah.
It's within her remit, the amount we pay her.
And we get 3 hours a month.
Do we? There is a limit to it, is there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We don't. I don't think we do that either, do we?
Within what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, but what we're saying is this won't be extra cost.
No.
To what we. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Otherwise, do some this month and some next month.
Exactly. If it takes
5 hours,
we'll do 2 hours next month.
Yeah. We're not paying any extra.
No. Okay.
Fair enough. Okay. Can't
see. Someone proposed it. Have they or?
Is it yourself?
I will then.
I'm quite happy to second it. All in favour.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're actually proposing. Is at one stage, I think we're deferring it until we get the answers.
No.
No.
So what?
We're to agree to review and, where necessary, carry out health and safety risk assessments for all public open spaces under the council's control.
Okay, thank you. We just voted on that one. I'm just mindful that we don't need to be any longer than we need to be. So 26-27 to approve the quotation to install an emergency called in High Street disabled toilet at a cost of £380 plus VAT.
Yeah. Well, we need one. It should be one there, don't worry, it isn't there. So I propose that we go with this one.
Okay, thank you. Before we go to a vote, does anybody have any questions?
No. Just one quote, you know.
Yeah,
it's a small amount.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
okay.
Okay.
Have one quite. It's 100%. Yeah, okay.
We'll try to get that amount, but if we don't, then
it's
larger amounts, isn't it, that we're duty bound to in the financial risk. Okay, so a proposer? Councillor Jenkins, was it?
Yes.
Thank you. And the seconder, please. Councillor Racker, all in favour? Thank you.
Madam Mayor, can I just say, before you close, there was a guy frantically on the back road trying
to grab
your attention.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
That's
right. Hello.
I want to introduce myself. I am the director of Grey Oak Tree.
You're the...
Director.
Of?
Grey Oak Tree.
Oh, Grey Oak Tree.
Okay.
Well, that's some good news today, then.
Yeah.
And I look forward to working with you.
Thank you. Oh, nice to meet you.
Yes, I saw your van outside.
Yes, I pulled up.
Not that that applies pressure to us.
Right, okay, so I'd just like to thank you all for coming and safe journey home, wherever you're going to. We now need to vote to dismiss the public, the exclusion of the press and public to resolve.
Did we not defer this last item?
Already? No, we haven't.
We did.
When Nigel raised it, he did mention the two items.
Yes,
didn't
two items.
Did you
together.
Mention the 26, 28 as well? Right, okay then, thank you. I didn't hear that, I've got to say, so I do apologise. What Nigel was saying is 26.17, he mentioned 26.18 as well. Okay, okay, I'm going to close this meeting.
26.28. 26.17 and 26.28.
Both need to go on the agenda.
Yes. Okay. Thank you very much for coming and the safe journey back.
Are you going to call the meeting? Then
don't worry.